Good morning. I'd like to wish all of you a happy new year. I'm not sure that happy is the word that Christians use, but perhaps a blessed year in the Lord as we look to 2010. Let's open with a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help in the preaching of his word. Father, it has been rich and it has been good to be in your house this morning. Father, to know that we belong to you, that, Father, we are your children, and that you care for us, that you love us, that you provide for us, you protect us, you watch over us day and night. And, Father, we just come to you this morning asking that your Spirit would touch our hearts and our lives, that, Father, we would go forward into 2010 with hope and confidence in you. And Father, just deliver us from fear and anxiety and just give us a freedom in Christ to march forward as your people in 2010. Father, we ask that you grant us humility, that we walk humbly before you, not boasting in ourselves or what we can accomplish, but only in what Jesus Christ has done for us. And Father, we ask that you just bless the preaching of your word. I ask that you guard and keep me from error. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 127:1 says this: unless the Lord builds the house, those who build labor in vain. And unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. How do we begin 2010 together at Calvary Baptist Church? How do we as a church approach 2010? There's an account in the Old Testament that frightens me every time I read it. The children of Israel were in bondage in the land of Egypt for 430 years. And God performed a miracle. He set his people free. Now, he didn't set his people free by bringing in a huge army to conquer Egypt. He set his people free by sending a shepherd with a shepherd's staff to set his children free. And God worked a miracle, and he set his children free, and Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then he took them over to Mount Sinai, and they met God at Mount Sinai, and God gave them his laws. And then Moses leads them all around to Kadesh Barnea, right at the brink of going into the Holy Land, or the Promised Land. And we read that when they got near to the Promised Land at Kadesh Barnea, God told them to choose one leader from each tribe of Israel, 12 men, to go into the land and spy it out and to see what God has promised to give to the nation of Israel. And so they choose 12 men and they go and they spy out the land. And they come back and they report to the nation of Israel that yes, the land that God has given us, it's rich, it's fruitful, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But 10 of them came back and said, yes, it's wonderful, but we've got a problem. The people in the land are huge. Their cities are fortified. We look like grasshoppers in their presence. And they discouraged the children of Israel. They filled them with fear and anxiety. And then there was two men, Caleb and Joshua. They said, if we believe in God and put our confidence in God, he will go with us and we'll win the battle. But the people decided to side with the 10. In fact, they became so angry at Moses, they wanted to stone him to death. And this is what I fear for a church or for a people of God. Because what happens here is the people are afraid to move forward with confidence in God. But then what happens is God is very angry with them, and he says, all of you from 20 years old and up are going to die. You're going to perish in this land. You will never see the promised land except Caleb and Joshua. And the Lord pronounces this judgment upon them, and they are promised that if Let me back up here. I'm losing my train of thought. The people of Israel rebelled against Moses. They would not enter the promised land. He had promised that all of them were going to perish in the wilderness except Caleb and Joshua. And then they rededicated themselves to God, and they took it upon themselves, and they said, okay, we know that what we've done was wrong, it was a sin, and so they decide then to go and conquer the land. And if you read the scripture, it says they presumed upon the Lord, and they went into the promised land and engaged in a battle, and they got defeated. And it says that Moses and the Ark of the Covenant did not go with them. Now, here's what I fear. On the one hand, as a church, fearing the future, failing to move forward when God tells us to move forward, and then the other thing I fear is presumption, to move ahead when God has not gone ahead of us. Those are the two things I fear as a pastor of Calvary Baptist Church. We want to go where God goes. And when God stops, we want to stop. We do not want to presume upon God and start doing things in our own strength and end up defeated. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build labor in vain. As a church, we can work our heads off in 2010. We can have countless meetings. We can go through the motions of having worship service every Sunday. But if God's not here, if God is not in this, then it's all vain. It's all empty. And it's all shallow. Nothing frightens me any more than to prop up the church and make us look like a real church when all we are is a prop and there's no substance behind it. We want God to be here in our church. I do not want us to be like a train full of people traveling down the tracks, enjoying the scenery, but we fail to realize is that we are coasting to a stop in the middle of the desert because we become disconnected to the locomotive. And the locomotive is going over the horizon, and we are just coasting to a stop. That's what I fear. Now, my goal this morning is to encourage you and me to pray for Calvary Baptist Church. Prayer connects us to God. Prayer shows our dependence upon God. He is the locomotive. He is the source of power, and we want to get connected to God. I don't want us to start building tracks on our own. I want us to get on board with what God's doing and ride along with what God's doing for Calvary Baptist Church. And so my point this morning is I want to encourage all of us to pray for Calvary Baptist Church because prayer connects us to God, and He is the source of power. Now, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we'll look at our text for this morning. Luke chapter 11, beginning verses 1 through 12, or 1 through 13. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. My door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if he has a son, asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How do we begin 2010 together as a church? I want us to begin 2010 together as a church in a time of prayer. Because prayer connects us to God, and God is the source of power for our church. I would like for the Lord to maybe write it on our foreheads this year. Lord, teach us to pray as a church. Maybe we could get some tattoos on our arms that said, Lord, teach us to pray. I want us to be a church that 2010 we could say, Lord, we're coming to you and asking that you teach us as a church to pray. The disciples are here, and it says one disciple saw Jesus praying. I don't know if you've ever been around somebody who truly prays. But if you've ever watched or listened to somebody who truly prays, you realize that you're in the presence of God and that you're on holy ground. And this disciple is watching Jesus pray, and he realizes, I don't have what he has. There's something lacking in my life. There's something I'm coming up short here, and I want what Jesus has here. And he says, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? Because I don't have a clue how to pray like you pray. And so he says, Jesus, teach us to pray. The first thing I want us to see this morning, this text is full. We could go in 1,000 different directions. But I want us to just focus on just a couple things. The first thing I want us to see here in this text is this glorious invitation to pray. This is one of the greatest invitations in all of the Bible. Here's something truly amazing. God is saying to us, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now I know we need to be careful here. I know that there are health and wealth gospels that say that Jesus wants you healthy and Jesus wants you wealthy, and this is a blank check and you just fill out whatever you want. I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about here, because he goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit. So he's not talking about just a blank check to fill out whatever you want. And so we need to be careful about that. But I think you need to realize that this is a glorious invitation given to us here. Ask, seek, and knock. It is like God is inviting us to this wonderful banquet. It's like Jesus is inviting us to his palace. And he's saying, I want you to come to my palace, and I want you to enter into this great banquet hall, and there's solid mahogany beams, and there's all these tables and chairs and beautiful lighting, and the table is lined with this absolute feast of food, and he's inviting us to come and to feast. And we say, you know what? I really just don't have time. I don't have time to pray. I'm too busy. I've got too many demands at work. I'm sorry, I just can't attend this feast that you have for us, Lord. He's saying to us, I want you to come to me and ask. And I want you to seek, and I want you to knock. And then he goes on and says, you know, you talk about a child asking a parent for something. Aren't they going to give their children what's best? And so the first thing I want us to see here is this glorious invitation to pray. One of the things that is crystal clear from the New Testament is that it is God's will for us to pray to him. Sometimes we struggle to know the will of God. You know, God, what college should I go to? And God, what kind of career should I pursue? And what church should I join? And what ministry should I get involved with? Lord, what is your will for my life? Sometimes we struggle with that. But we don't need to struggle with this one. It is absolutely clear from Scripture that God wants us to be a people of prayer. Romans 12:12. Be constant in prayer. Colossians 4:2. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Some translate that, be devoted to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. 1 Corinthians 7:5. Give yourselves to fasting and prayer. God's will for you and me is that we pray. And here in Luke chapter 11, we have this glorious invitation to come to him and ask, seek, and knock. Now, what is prayer in its simplest form? Prayer in its simplest form is asking God for things. And by things, I don't mean physical things necessarily or stuff. I'm talking about spiritual things. Prayer in its simplest form is asking God for spiritual things. Asking God for wisdom, the knowledge of God, to know the love of Christ that passes all understanding. Jesus is talking here about the Holy Spirit. The greatest gift that God could give any Christian is His Holy Spirit. That His Spirit comes and abides within you. And you cry out, Abba, Father, and you know that you belong to God, that He is your Father and you are His child, and that you have assurance of salvation, that when I die, I'm going to go into the presence of the Lord and spend eternity with Him. He's talking about that's the greatest gift God could give you is His Holy Spirit. And so He's encouraging us to pray. And prayer in its simplest form is making requests to God. Now, I know in a broad sense, prayer should include confession of sins. It should include adoration and worship of God and praise and thanksgiving. But in its simplest form, prayer is asking God for things, spiritual things. Now, stop and think about this. God is encouraging all of us here to pray, to ask, seek, and knock. Be devoted to prayer. Any of you moms and dads have little tykes running around and they're constantly asking you for things? Mama, can we do this? Mama, can we do that? Daddy, can we try this? Daddy, can we go there? And God is encouraging us, I want you to come and ask me. That's the kind of God I am. Come, ask, seek, knock. Now why? Why does God want us to pray? Why does He want us to seek and to ask and to knock? Because prayer glorifies God. He wants the world to know that He is a glorious God, a generous God, a God who loves to give. God's not stingy. God is not Ebenezer Scrooge who is bah humbug and pinching every penny. The God of the Bible wants to say, I am a generous God. I want to give to you. I love to give gifts to my children. And that's why I'm asking you and inviting you to come and ask of me. I want the world to know that the God of Christians is a generous God. He is a kind God. He is a loving God. He is a God of grace and mercy. He is a God who is slow and patient. So God wants us to pray so that He gets glorified when He answers and pours out His blessings upon us. In Psalm 50:15, it says this, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. When you get in trouble, God says, call upon me, and I'll deliver you. You're going to get rescued, and I'm going to get the glory for it. And then in John 14:13, amazing statement by Jesus. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified and that the Son may be glorified. Ask whatever you want in my name, and I will do it, that my Father gets glorified and the Son gets glorified. Is that an amazing statement? Now, he says, in my name. I think that means praying according to the will and the purpose of God through Jesus Christ. Footnote here, very important footnote, doctrine, theology. There is no prayer apart from Jesus Christ. There is no access to the throne of God except through Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the key that unlocks the door that gives us access to the throne of God. If you're not a Christian, you have no access to God in prayer. And that, I'm not being arrogant in that. That's what Scripture teaches. When you look at the Old Testament, and God is talking to the nation of Israel, and he's giving them all these rules and regulations about the temple and the tabernacle. He's teaching his people, there is a way that you approach me. There is a way that you have access to me, and that's only through the blood of Christ. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament types and the Old Testament temple and the tabernacle. We can only have access to the throne of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I got a letter not too long ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, from the city of Elgin, inviting me down to pray at the city council meetings. They want clergy involved in the city council meetings, and they want you to come down and pray and open the service in prayer. And I was reading it. It was a nice letter. And then it got down to the last paragraph. And it said, I'm paraphrasing, now, you recognize that Elgin is this wonderful city that has been blessed with many different cultures and ethnicities, and therefore, when you come and pray, you will be sensitive to the people there. I'm paraphrasing. It was a little more flowery than that. What they're saying is, we want you to come and pray, but don't dare pray in the name of Jesus, because you will offend 95% of the people there. They want a generic prayer to a generic God. Tim Wills gave a closing prayer at one of the graduations at Elgin High School, and he prayed in Jesus' name, and they came up to him afterwards and said, we don't want you praying in Jesus' name anymore. And he said, don't invite me. That's the only way I know how to pray. True prayer is only through Jesus Christ. But here we have this glorious invitation by God to come to him and to ask and to seek and to knock. God wants us to pray to him. And this is how we approach 2010 as a church. We're going to begin a week of prayer. You've got your inserts and your bulletins. Look at them just a moment with me. The church is going to be open on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I will be here from 7 until 8 o'clock. And I invite you to come and pray with me. I know it's going to be a cold week. I know that all of you are busy. But I'm just asking, if you are able, the church will be open and we'll come together and we'll pray. On Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, the church will be open here. On Mondays, we're going to look at Scripture, the passage there, I think, in 2 Samuel. And that's the account where it says that David went and sat before the Lord. And David reflects upon the goodness of God, and it's a prayer of gratitude for the past and a looking to the future. Then on Wednesday night, we're going to look at Hannah's prayer. We're going to have a business meeting, and we're going to include the finances of our church in our prayer meeting, but we're going to look at Hannah's prayer and how a woman poured out her heart to God, and he answered her prayer. Then on Friday night, we're going to look at Paul's two prayers to the church at Ephesus, and we're going to look at what did Paul pray for. Paul prayed for spiritual things, not physical. He prayed that we would grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, that we would understand the love of Christ. And so that's what we'll look on Friday. And so I'm inviting you to come on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and to meet here for a time of prayer. If you cannot do that, I understand we all are busy, then pray at home. Pray at home. Set aside some portion of time this week where you can look at these scriptures and to pray for Calvary Baptist Church. And then on the back of that insert, I've just gave you kind of just some guidelines about prayer, because sometimes we get on our knees and we think, well, what am I going to pray about? You know? And our minds just kind of go blank. And one is to just sort of pray in this concentric circles, to start with yourself and your own relationship to the Lord, your soul. Pray for yourself and your walk with God. And then pray for your wife and your husband or your children. And then to reach out further to your extended family, grandmas and grandpas, moms and dads, aunts and uncles, cousins, nieces and nephews. Then go out even further than that and talk about and lift our church up into prayer. Pray for me as your pastor. Pray for the deacons. Pray for the Sunday school teachers. Pray for the youth. Just lift our church up in prayer. And then go a little further than that and talk about our missionaries, Art and Denise in Chad, Africa. Lift them up in prayer. Our government officials, our president, our governors, our mayors, to sort of pray in those kind of concentric circles. Or if there's a particular subject that we could pray about, Lord, give me strength. Lord, the world is bombarding us with sin and temptations. They are clawing at us. They are pulling at us. Lord, give me strength to just say no to the things of the world. Those are just some subjects that we can pray about this week. So how do we begin 2010 together? Let's begin with a time of prayer and asking God's blessing upon Calvary Baptist Church. I wonder, could we pray, God, could you give us 5 new families for 2010? Or could we stretch ourselves and say, God, could you give us 10 new families for Calvary Baptist Church? Lord, could we baptize 5 new believers in 2010? Or God, would you just be pleased to just pour out your Spirit upon us? That we would learn to love one another more than we've ever loved each other before. To be forgiving towards one another, patient towards one another, not angry and bitter and hostile and abrasive. But Lord, would your Spirit just fall upon us and help us to love each other as Christ has commanded us to love? Could we kind of start the year that way, praying for Calvary Baptist Church? And then the second insert that you have is a 52-week plan on reading the Bible through. We talked a little bit about that last week, but I want to again hold it before you because the beginning of the new year is a good time to again look at Bible study. You know, we hear it over and over and over again. As God's people, we need to read the Bible and we need to pray. Maybe what we need to pray is, God, give me such a hunger and a desire for your word that every morning I cannot wait but to get up and spend time with you. That it comes from inside, it's a desire. My kids know how to get me every time. When we go to a soccer game or we go to a band concert and we're coming home and they say, Dad, I got a goal. How about celebrate? Let's go to the Dairy Queen. Let's get one of those caramel mulattes. They know that that's 90% done. When they mention that to Dad, because I like caramel mulattes. You don't have to twist my arm to say, you know, that's a good idea. You really played good on that clarinet on that concert. That was awesome. We need to go to the Dairy Queen. If we would have a desire, a hunger and a thirst for God's word in 2010, if that 52-week plan helps you, then use it. If you've got another way to read the Bible, wonderful. Use that. All I'm doing as your pastor is encouraging you to stay in his word. God speaks to us through his word, and we're asking that his Holy Spirit would just create such a desire in us that we would desire to spend time with him. That's how we want to begin 2010. And so let's have our closing hymn. I just want to again encourage you to be here for the week of prayer. And if you cannot be here, pray at home. Pray for our church. Thank you.